Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth. Up, everybody! Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. If everything is going smoothly, we are live not just on Crowdcast, but also on YouTube and Facebook right now. Of all places, Mark Zuckerberg's okay. Home of itself. Places.
Facebook fucking oh, sucks.
Welcome to the metaverse, guys. What a yes. place.
Wow. Here's the thing. My as you can tell, we don't have any legs, here. So it's all good. Maybe you're listening to it later. Oh, there we go. I'm doing everything right. Maybe you're listening to this later on Spotify, Crowdcast, or wherever you get your podcast. It's all good. But we're very excited to have you here. Very excited to talk tonight. How are you guys doing? This is probably very interesting for our audio listeners at home, but we have a new Crowdcast platform. Are you completely thrown right now? Are you doing okay?
I love it. Like a lot of astronauts in the NASA program, they throw them completely unprepared into a new shuttle, and they just have to fly or not. And we are going to fly. We're flyers.
We are flyers. Do you know who else is a flyer, is our guest tonight?
And hey-o.
Hey-o. Trying to figure out how to bring him in here. His name is Michael Davenport. And he is the lead writer and creative director on Marvel Universe Online, which is a very interesting project. He is also, I will mention, in Germany. So it's 1 a.m. right
time
now.
What time is it there?
I know. 1 a.m. or maybe even later at this point. I guess it's like 2 a.m. or something. He said, no problem. All good. Don't even worry about it. It's all
fine. Parties in Germany, like, man.
Hey. Michael, welcome. Hello.
Thank you. Hey. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. It's bright and squirrely in the morning over here.
Nice. Are you on a 24-hour clock?
Yes.
Great. Healthy.
Yes. Yes. Very healthy. It's usually the case. I'm usually doing these with folks back in the U.S., so you know I'm used to this kind of time block being for coming down here having a early morning cup of coffee and chatting up folks.
Well, nothing like sitting in a bright red room at 2 a.m. and talking across the pond.
There you go.
Yeah, I got to say, the background is fascinating. I love the poster back there. It looks like you got some figures, some real cool stuff.
Yeah, this is my office. They keep me down here in the basement so I can
basement life. Cool,
basement life, exactly. So I can just crank out cool stuff all day long. So.
Nice. And what should we ask you about on your t-shirt there?
You should ask me about the Marvel Universe Online.
There we go.
That's Alex.
Yes. Oh, wow. That's so, what a weird coincidence. That's actually why we had you here to talk about
what a weird coincidence. Exactly. What a weird coincidence.
On your shirt at the same time. So this is an interesting project. This is, and correct me if I'm wrong, not an official Marvel thing at all.
That is correct. So the project started about 10 years ago, off and on, right around the time that Marvel Heroes sunsetted. It was born of an idea of a few fans of play games like DC Universe Online, City Heroes, and then, you know, Champions Online, the like. No, it's not officially sanctioned by Marvel, so we decided to, you know, compile all this information that we had gathered. We talked to professionals in the industry. Actually got some feedback from folks like the CryEngine people reached out to us when we started asking questions about, hey, you're talking about, you know, novice really wanting to know information, and they, you know, how do you make a, you know, first question you ask, gee, how do you make a video game?
Yeah.
and they were very helpful. And, you know, it started from there. And like I said, more and more people just started contributing information about, you know, the nuts and bolts of how to actually do something like that. And then it started, you know, it evolved from just an idea of, hey, how to reach into this, you know, take this genre that we loved in video gaming and, you know, tie it to Marvel, because we know that, you know, Marvel for the longest time had been wanting to create something like this. But unfortunately, at the time, this was their first swing and a miss, was after they tried to sue City of Heroes back in the day, and it didn't work out because they themselves wanted to create a game just like that.
Wow.
Yeah, this was way back in 2012, 2013. So, yeah, that, you know, after that, it was just, you know, you really didn't, when City of Heroes left, you really didn't have something in that genre of superhero games yet. I mean, they were trailblazers. And then DC, you know, DC Universe Online came along a few years after that. And before that happened, I had the opportunity to have a one-on-one chat with Jack Emmert, the creator of City of Heroes.
Oh,
and I got a lot of, again, this was that phase where we were just collecting information. So, you know, we were out talking to everybody, you know, everybody in the industry, the big name. So Jack told me gave me some background about how after he left Cryptic, how Marvel and Microsoft had approached him about the first attempt at a Marvel superhero MMO. Hmm. And, unfortunately at the end of the talks, it didn't work out. And the assets that he had compiled to present to them eventually turned into Champions Online.
I love this because it sort of feels like the act of making a video game is sort of a video game. It's like a little bit of an RPG. You're just like slowly picking up clues, going around,
townspeople. It really, I mean, and, you know, a lot of people, I was surprised by the process. You know, a lot of games, you know, start years before even the first hands touch the keyboard to start programming it. You know, this all is the deals in the background. You know, talking to this person, talking to that person. You know, getting contracts, finding out who's available. You know, lining up the pieces and everything. There's a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't know about. I mean, it takes years before the first announcements happened. So it was a learning experience the first few years of the project. And like I said, while that was going on, we just kept compiling information, reaching out to fans after that to find out in this particular genre, what would they like to see? Mm. And this was back when, you know, not a whole lot of people were even looking at video games. This way before the first Spider-Man games, you know, we're still in that era where it was still pretty niche, to say the least.
Right.
It was still pretty niche. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question, and I don't mean this to be abrasive or anything like that. How do you do this? How can you do this? Are you worried at all about Marvel coming back and being like, hey, appreciate all the work you put in here. Here's a cease and desist. Please stop. Or is there a way around it? Like, is there a parity law type thing for video games or something?
I am. If anyone that knows me knows that I like to poke the bear.
Good for you. Good for you.
Fun fact. I, on LinkedIn, one of my mutuals on LinkedIn is Eric Monticelli. Now, if you know who Eric Monticelli is, he is the head of Marvel Games.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's kind of important to have a buy-in from him potentially.
Yeah,
yeah. The first people I went to when this started to solidify were Marvel execs. So I didn't want there to be any confusion about, you know, what we were doing. So I went to them first. I said, hey, listen, and I gave them the early pitch. You know, this was before
the pre-pitch,
exactly. This was, hey, this is what we're trying to do. I told Eric about it and said, go forth, you know, do good things. You know, he said, basically, if it's interesting enough, we'll reach out to you, you know, good or bad, I guess. We've been, like I said, we've been at this for 10 years now, off and on.
Whoa.
And yeah, the key here is that we don't profit from anything.
Yeah.
My motto is the only person that doesn't get paid is me. So everybody that contributes to the project, the artists, the other writers, you know, everyone that does my PR person, everyone who volunteers, I make the effort to make sure everyone gets paid. It's all 100% of the funding goes directly to them. And as a side,
you hate money? How does it work with you and money? You hate it.
Yeah, how do you live?
Oh, I live just fine. Here's the thing. I'm 52 years old. I am you know, at that age where I'm looking toward retirement instead of, you know, furthering my career. And this is one of the things for the longest time that I felt like, you know, I wanted to do, you know.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's like a legacy.
Yeah, it's a bit of a legacy, and the people that I work with, they understand that as well. I mean, they're as motivated by it as I am, you know. And as an aside, you know, the project isn't just about the pitch; the project is about the community. Mm. So, what we do to keep it within the comic community is that we commission comic artists that are up and coming. We don't nice. Commission professionals. So all the art you see on the website, I mean, we're in the process of finalizing the last few pieces on the web, the holding site images. We're trying to get rid of those and get them replaced with art that we commission for the project specifically. But all of that comes from commissions through donations to get those folks recognized. We advertise for them through the website. So if any piece of work that anyone is curious about finding out more about, we link them directly to the artist that created it.
Wow. That's great.
Now,
Are you setting it at a time or place in the Marvel universe? Obviously, it's constantly developing through the comics and the movies and everything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here is the differentiation. The reason why we selected the designation for our universe as Earth 619. Because the numbering is there for a reason. One, it took me a little bit of research to make sure it was available, first of all, because
You gotta get that number right. Because
there's a Bible out there of Marvel Earths.
Yeah.
And you can't step on another number because down the road you never know when it's gonna be, you know, significant. So Earth 619 was available, and I liked it as close as possible to Earth 616 because the subtleties that you'll see in our version of the Marvel Universe will be just that subtle. You'll have to go out and actually, you know, find the differences. But there are a lot of larger differences that make us distinct. The point where we start, where the game starts, for the most part, the history past Civil War, the first Civil War comic version, is where everything is pretty much parallel to 616. Now, the difference between our version of Civil War and the comic version of Civil War is that it is on a global scale.
Mm. Now, please excuse my ignorance here, but you know, we're talking a lot about different things of the game, but how do you play this? What kind of game is this? What does MMO mean?
It's like a Candy Crush type thing, right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Is it Marvel versus Wordle. Capcom? What's going on here? Talk to me.
It is a shared world. I want to say show. I hate the term MMO, but unfortunately, that's the best way to describe it. So imagine Destiny, but with superheroes.
Okay.
I don't know if you're helping Pete there necessarily. Yeah. Just Pete, to clarify, MMO is like MMA. MMA is mixed martial arts. MMO
I know what MMA is.
Martial opera.
Yeah.
Massively multiplayer online game.
No.
A whole bunch of people playing in the same sandbox at the same time.
Okay.
So that's where
big sandbox.
a big sandbox.
Well, speaking of that sandbox, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, but not, there's no pressure. How close are you? Like, to how far away are you at this point from a playable version of the game or a beta test?
It is a pitch. Right now, it is a pitch. And it's right there in bold letters on the first page of the website. It's a pitch project at this point. You know, without, of course, without, you know, direct support from Marvel yet.
Eyebrow raised.
Yeah, right. We are a pitch project. And as I let everyone know that from the jump, you know, what you're supporting is a vision at the moment. Mm-hmm. Now the best way to get this vision out, you know, to the right eyes is through sharing that vision. You know, go out, see what we're doing now, see what you like, make suggestions about how we can change or be better. And spread the word. You know, that's we want nothing from anyone other than letting folks know. You know,
for clarity's sake, when you talk about your vision, can you describe, like, if one of us, hypothetically Pete, logged on when the vision is complete, you have all of your dreams coming true, what happens? You log in, what's your gameplay like? What's happening for you?
What's happening? When you log in, the first thing that happens is, after the credits roll, you know, you see our scroll, which you can find on the website. You see our scroll. And what opens up is a page from the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Online. If you've ever seen the old Marvel Encyclopedia, character encyclopedias.
Yeah.
The character creation screen is a version of that. So it opens up. The side is the text is on site. You create your character stats, your background information on the left side of the screen. On the right side of the screen is the window where you actually create your character. Now, once that page is complete, you write in my bio the whole nine yards. Once that page is complete, that page gets stored as your character cut sheet. So that's throughout your play career, that character cut sheet goes along with you. Now, as you do certain adventures, those adventures get added to your bio of your character. Now, every player and every NPC will have a character bio sheet just like yours. Now, what you can do with them is you can share them, you can trade them, you can collect them and form your own encyclopedia of characters.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, if I want to play as, like, Mephisto Jr., the marriage breaker, like, I could go
Go for it. All of the options. If anyone remembers the old games like City of Heroes and the character creation tools, go for it. Anything you can imagine, create.
Is there any way to call dibs on Frankencastle now?
Boo.
The Shredded by Doc and Punisher? That
sure.
Oh yeah. Here's a good question from Stray Bullet here in the comments. Can I be Uncle Ben? Can you play as Uncle Ben?
You cannot play as established characters. That is the only caveat.
That's why I said
okay. So
yes.
Is it, so I could be like Cypher, but with an I instead of a Y in the name.
Well, we would like to try to avoid that, but
I don't think there's any way.
There's a ton, of course, there'll be tons of wolverines, and Spinnermans out there. Yeah. But you know,
I just think not to backstage edit or anything, but you got to go to that pitch deck. You got to put right at the top there, hey, you cannot play as Cypher. Just so you know, you're gonna lose a lot of fans. I think up front, we know that, but
a lot
put it out there.
I don't know about a lot.
So many.
Alex, I think it's a betrayal of the character if you have a misspelled name. His whole thing is spelling right. It's like really being accurate with the letters.
One of the narratives is that the NPCs, the more famous they are, they know that there will be homage characters of them.
Oh, cool.
So that differentiates us from other games that used to do this, where they actively discourage people from making homage characters. I myself made plenty of homage characters on City of Heroes. And I know some friends that play DC Online, and they do the same thing. there are tons of Marvel characters on DC Universe Online. Tons. So I understand the appeal. So yeah, we wanted to take that idea of being able to create homage characters and just roll with it.
Cool.
Can I throw something by you? So Cypher's power is translate languages. That doesn't affect his spelling, right? Like, not to contradict Justin or anything like that. But Justin has a small person who's come in to tell him that he's wrong about Cypher's powers. Sorry.
Yeah.
Hello,
yeah.
Hello, small
she
person.
Says, I love Cypher and stop of being course. Mean to Alan.
Of course.
Man, kids say the darndest things, don't
oh,
they?
Oh, man.
I have a question, Michael. Are you worried about this game gaining sentience and taking over our world?
Yes.
The right answer.
And a related question, if people want to support it, I know you've mentioned this before, but other than just spreading the word, what is the best way of actually like physically supporting the development of this?
If you want to donate, we have a Patreon for Marvel Universe Online, and we have a Ko-fi at the moment. Right now, the Patreon, you can donate for as little as $3 a month. I mean, and really, right now, because we're only a pitch project, all of that money goes to the artists who help us create, you know, and eventually the plan is to get enough donations that we can start supporting, you know, we can regularly support the artists and writers and eventually move up to supporting other folks like developers, you know, we can get an advertising agency, you know, my PR person she's excellent. And, you know, we want to eventually reach out and be able to give her a hand, you know, so just basically expanding upon the all of the work that needs to be done to flesh this out to its, you know, natural conclusion, you know, so it looks like, and the conclusion for the project is to look and feel like an actual gaming website. Our website is supposed to look like an actual gaming site. You should be able to look at our site and say, wow, I want to play this. That's the goal. Yeah. I mean, for the website, I want people to look at the project and say, yeah, I want to play this. Why can't I not play this? I want hundreds of thousands of thousands of thousands of people saying, why can't I not play this? And then I want them to go to Marvel Games and I want them to say, why can't we play this?
We must look at what, that's about you. What if you get happening. A good game. A good game is undeniable. Like if the people want to play, the people are going to play.
Exactly. And yeah. and they literally, Marvel Games themselves literally told me, you know, they said, hey, listen, if your idea is popular enough, we'll see it. Well,
that's great.
Guess what? That's what we're trying to do.
Awesome. That makes your goal very clear. Just like a great game. Yeah. It's like, I want to win. I need to I need to get Boardwalk and Park Place.
Exactly. I am out to create a game that captures not just people's ability, you know, interest in playing a video game. I want it to capture people's imaginations. I want people to be thinking about it when they're not playing it. So that's my goal. I've played games where even if you turn off the console or the PC, you can't stop thinking about it. You know, your mind still inhabits that world that you were in.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. You know, and you know, back in the day, City of Heroes had an active writing community, you know, fan-based communities that did all kinds of stuff, videos, and they had, you know, they wrote stories and all that. And that's the kind of thing that I want people to get back into again. You know, I want, when you create your character, I want that character to feel like an alternate version of you. I want that character. So when you write their bios, we basically say, hey, you know, here's a page. Go forth and create the person in the Marvel Universe that you want to be.
Cool.
And that's, yeah, excellent. Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Michael, I don't want to keep you up much later because it is very late where you are, even though you've been very gracious with your time. Good luck on the project. I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening with it.
Yeah.
Going forward. Thanks, Michael.
All right.
Go get him.
Yeah, take care. Thanks.
Good night.
All right now.
All right. There we go. Once again, it is called Marvel Universe Online. Mike Davenport is the lead writer and creative director, and you can check it out and support it and see where it goes. Get on the ground floor of a big project right now. Right, guys?
Yeah, you could be the beyonder of this new MMO world.
Ooh. Yeah, but not with the Y. It would be Beyonder with an I.
It would be a slightly different Beyonder.
It'd be Beyondy.
Beyondy. Let me ask you, based on that conversation, how much of a grasp of the gameplay do you have?
Oh, man, I so get it and understand what's going on. You know what I mean?
Like you have a deep, like you could describe it right now.
I can pitch it to Marvel.
This will help out too. It's like Street Fighter 2, but not at all.
It's almost the opposite of Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
If you punch,
but
in the
we're
going to
move
code,
on with our. It doesn't help. We're going to move on with our next start. Section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you have to do is drop a question if you can find it in the question field over here on Crowdcast. Also, the comments over on YouTube, and I'll keep an eye on those.
Maybe on Facebook. Alex, what about Facebook? I'm watching on Facebook, maybe.
Oh, man. Let me go over to Facebook. No questions over there.
Well, you don't know yet.
Just,
you gotta say,
why am I still on Facebook is the first question there.
Zuck may drop in, or there'll be like a fake news article pinned to our show.
Oh, yeah. Dan Bodino is actually on the stream. He's ready to talk to us. Is that what his name is? I don't know. Whatever. Ben Shapiro is
Don
here.
Don Bongino, I think you mean, but yes, I got you.
Sure, whatever. Hey, Don Bongino.
Don Bongino.
We actually have a question here on Crowdcast. This is from Stray Bullet. Is there a comic book? Ooh, look at this. It's coming up here on the screen. This is so exciting. Is there a comic book property you think would make an amazing video game?
Great question. I feel like there are a lot of comics that I think gesture toward this. You got, I mean, Die, for instance, the Kieran Gillen comic, was sort of designed to be a role-playing game that could easily be a video game version of that.
Didn't they make a tabletop version of Die? Am I wrong about that?
Yes, yo. I think it sort of became more of what the comic was doing than even the story. Mm-hmm.
I would like a comic book club property to be a video game, and it's called Punch Nat in the Face. And you got to like go to the places in New York City where like Nat hangs out and look for him, and then find him and punch him in the face.
It's like a Burger Time. Waldo.
Yeah, it's like a Burger Time. Where's Waldo?
But you're punching Nat. Just got to race around and blink. Yeah. Right.
I was initially thinking about this as a joke idea, but I actually think like if you did a Telltale game style thing where you could sort of choose through it, Concrete. I know we bring this up all the time as a property, but
what?
Something really thoughtful. Down. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess there's no wrong answer because comics and video games share the sort of endlessness, like where you can go anywhere. The stories can sort of web, no pun intended, in any direction.
Dark web.
Yeah, the dark
web. I love this comment over on Facebook. Bill Bauer says, CBC Games, collect bananas.
No, whoever could collect the most tightest bananas.
Yeah, you gotta get the tight bananas. You don't want loose bananas.
Again, if you guys haven't been listening to the stack, you don't know that Pete has been, I want to say, disassociating, losing his mind in his reviews.
That's a good way to put it.
To say things that I know he...
I straight bullets question. Oh, it disappeared.
But we don't know exactly what he's talking about. Tight bananas is the word of the month.
I feel like we might get a different audience than we expect if we had a game that was about collecting tight bananas. I'm just going to throw it out there. They may not know what they're getting into, but I guess we'll see.
Because you need a hammock. You need a banana hammock eventually. For the
come on, man. Don't make it.
Yeah.
Don't make it weird.
This is from Kevin. Which comic book team would you most or least want to join for Thanksgiving? Great question.
Great question, Kev. Because there is obviously, when you're on a team, there's a lot of pressure to do a sort of a Friendsgiving, an Avengegiving kind of a thing.
Okay.
But I'm going to go, I want to hang with the Runaways. I want to get them
in. Oh,
Oh, you're going with a fictional comic book team. I thought it was talking about like writer artist team, and I was like, I don't know, Kevin Maguire.
Alex, I think you're barking up the wrong tree there. Because let me be honest, I don't even know if the writers and artists want to sit down for Thanksgiving.
Well, they shouldn't. They should keep writing and drawing. You know what I mean? Because we got to read comics.
Take a meal off. Beat it's Thanksgiving. Give them a break.
Yeah, hot take. Everybody in comics should work through Thanksgiving. I don't care.
Coming from Pete, the man who's like, we have a podcast to record today? No, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I'm eating lunch right now.
Yes. All right. Good question over there. This one
you guys
is...
didn't answer it.
Oh, we didn't. Oh, what comic book team? Gosh, X-Men, I guess. I feel like as long as they weren't getting attacked and the X-Mansion wasn't getting blown up, they probably have a nice time.
I think Thunderbolts, because it would be a fucked up meal.
You think the villains cook fucked up food?
Yeah, weird shit. You know what I mean?
I bet villains.
I will
are
say,
better
if you're going with the version that Norman Osborn ran, then that would definitely work. That dude knows how to cut a turkey, so you know.
What?
Very niche reference to the first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
No? Oh, okay.
Okay, got you. Yeah. Got you.
Yeah.
Nice. I love that you expected us to know that reference. Like my favorite part of the first Spider-Man, I guess, when Norman Osborn cuts a turkey. The most great electric moment of the
Yeah, number two, the upside down Spider-Man kiss. Number one, though, the turkey.
That turkey. Oh,
boy.
All right.
And that turkey. Favorite Italian? Oh yes, wait.
What's Stray in the comments asked what we were drinking. So what are you guys drinking? I see Justin.
Oh right. We didn't talk about what we were drinking. Stray did come up with a cocktail. It involved Prosecco, and I did not have Prosecco around, so I apologize I didn't make it, but
yeah. Wow. And like, there's a lot of hype about like, don't have cocktails with Prosecco. I say, keep it going. The only reason I didn't make it is because I got home literally 2 minutes before the show started and I signed out immediately. So I'm here for a Prosecco cocktails in the future. I'm drinking a Pils Mafia, Buffalo nice. Bills themed beer by Thin Man Brewing, a great beer. But I also found this, my next beer is going to be Big Deal Brewing. A Labatt Blue other beer that they make.
What?
This could change my. This could change an entire family's life.
Whoa.
This is crazy.
That is a big.
I bet it tastes totally different.
It has.
Dude,
to.
Try it already. Come on, man.
I'm going to. I've got to finish my pills. Got to finish my pills. Daddy's got to take his pills.
Oh boy. Yes.
What about you, Pete? What are you drinking tonight?
I'm trying not to get sick. I got. Two people in the house already sick. I'm trying not to join the, you know, I'm trying to stay healthy here for Turkey Day so I can drink all day and eat all day. You know what I mean?
Your dream.
Yeah, I know. I do know what you mean. Yes.
Pete's been doing some daddy daycare lately.
Yes, yes. I'm drinking a Negroni. There you go. That's it. Speaking of Negronis, who are your favorite Italian comic book characters? What about your favorite Italian comics creators? Please answer this question respectfully. This is from Nat Townsend.
What is this?
Because you guys were doing.
He just doesn't want us to do a Mario accent. That's the
Yeah. You guys.
You don't like the Mario accent? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll answer this question in the form of a Mario.
Oh boy.
And my favorite Italian comic book characters. I mean, I actually can't even who are our favorite? What are the decidedly Italian characters?
Isn't Milo Manara Italian? Maybe.
Yes. Yes, that's
Milo Manara. There we go. That's my favorite.
Oh, nice job.
He draws some sexy comic books.
Wait, so that's your favorite Italian creator. What about characters? Yeah. That's
Italian comic character?
Shouts Matteo Scalera. That's a good call.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Simone, I don't know how to... Bianchi? Bianchi.
Is Simone Bianchi Italian?
Yes.
Nice.
Everybody frantically Googling right now. I love
it. Italian comic book.
Yeah, there we go. And Italian comic book characters, of course, we all know. Tony Soprano.
Oh my god, yeah. Dude. He said be respectful.
I am being respectful. It's a well-respected show. Yeah. Everybody loves it.
He's more of a Jersey character, I would argue.
We got some questions over at YouTube. Do you want to move over to that for a second?
Sure.
Why don't we...
Before we move on, though, I do think it's interesting, like, now Nat in the comments is, why are there so few canonically Italian characters? It is weird. Frank Castle's Italian, right? Is he Italian?
Probably.
It's a me, I'm not reading Frank Castle.
Anyway, we're going to move over to David Quitley. How do you think the new culture at DC Films, given Batgirl cancellation, will affect future projects? It's from YouTube, David Quitley. What do you guys think about that?
That's a great question. Well, I think they did something very savvy by bringing James Gunn in, because they had alienated the creators pretty aggressively. And then they brought in a creator to be in a leadership role. So I think that will lead to much more. I mean, when James Gunn has time to focus on his job as the head of that, I think he'll be able to mend fences, a trusted creator at the helm. It really makes it easier to get back in the right side.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just if people don't know the timeline of what went on, I think it was either November 1st or November 5th, he and Peter Safran started officially as the head of DC Films. Their first thing was essentially to come up with a book, which was like a timeline, a Bible for what they were going to do with DC Films and TV and animated shows and everything going forward. And as far as they've hinted, they're looking at it as all fitting together. So it certainly seems like everything that's come before isn't necessarily obviously wiped away, but they're coming up with a new take, a new universe going forward. I guess we'll see what happens. But to your point, Justin, having somebody who has a clear vision and cares about the way that people create things and the way they put things together, and he clearly, like, beyond anything else, James Gunn is a collaborator. You get that very clearly when anybody does an interview, where he is somebody that works with his actors. He works with the crew. He understands who people are. And it's such a silly thing that everybody should do, but like, he's the kind of guy that knows everybody's name on set. And there are some people who don't, and there are directors who don't and creators who don't, but it's clear everybody loves working with him. So Peter Safran as well, apparently, is really good at that stuff, even though he's going to be focusing on the business side. So the on the other end of the spectrum, obviously the Batgirl thing and everything went before, that's bad blood, and they're going to have like an uphill battle. I still do think they have a bullseye on their back, because what are they going to do about the Flash movie? What are they going to do about Aquaman 2, the Batman sequel, the Batman TV shows, all of Superman and Lois on the CW? Like, there's all of these potentially, and some of them better than others, but like vestigial things that are left over. So who knows what they're going to do with them going forward? That's a huge challenge, and any decisions they make are going to be scrutinized to hell. But like you were saying, Justin, just to get back to it and just to reiterate your point, starting with a creative guy is the right place to go. We'll see what happens.
Plus, he's a creative guy who kind of like really shows that, you know, like, he hopped over from Guardians to Suicide Squad and proved in a different world he could still deliver. So I think it, I think that, you know, he's going to prove some people wrong, and I'm excited to see what happens.
I have a little bit of follow-up here on Italian and Italian-American superheroes that I'd like to, I think this is a very good.
Okay, here we go.
Literally the first one, and then it goes to alphabetical order, is the Punisher. It goes the Punisher, someone named Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, and then it goes back to A. So whoever made this
Valentina page, is Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, right.
In the MCU. Yep.
So I think that's why they're one and two. And then it goes into characters that I'm sure we all love, like Captain Hot Wheels.
Captain Hot Wheels.
Captain Hot Wheels. Italian Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Who sort of feels really over the plate. We've got Pizza Man, sort of obvious, not really.
No, great, that can't be a real.
No, that's not good. Oh, Sarah Pizzini, Witchblade.
Witchblade.
That makes a lot of sense. Super Mario as we've covered.
Classic comic book character. That's how we know him first.
Yep. And here's a good one, though, that I wish I thought of was Zatanna. And Zatara.
But not Zatara, right? Zatanna is Italian, but not Zatara.
Yeah. Very Italian sounding words. Oh, Ratman from Panini Comics, also Italian. Anyway, go ahead, Alex.
All right, we got a couple more questions here over on YouTube. I'm going to read through. This is from Nelson Martinez. Are you guys into the White Lotus show on HBO? I really enjoyed first season and curious to see what direction the new season will go in. I've definitely been watching it. Pete, oh, yeah. I imagine it's not quite your thing, but Justin, you've been checking it out?
White Lotus, loving it. Caught up last night on all the episodes that have aired. I like this season better than the first one. I feel like the first one, the characters were a little sort of, you knew their positions on a lot of things, and we were watching them bounce off each other in a great way. This one, everyone's floating a little bit back and forth. It's a more interesting soup of people.
More interesting. I really like it as well. Yeah, more interesting soup.
That's love soup, exactly, especially as people.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
It's a real chowder of a show, I always say.
Yeah.
The first season and second season are very different, and I think purposefully so. But, you know, the main theme that Mike White, first of all, if anybody has not seen it, it takes place at this high-end resort. A bunch of all-star type people go to the resort, and they check it out and interact in different ways. The first season, I don't know, there was a lot of stuff going on, like very negative, very specifically about wealth and wealth disparity. The second season is a little bit more purposefully, they said it is like a sex farce set in Italy. But the thing that I think is really interesting about it, which takes a while to get around to, but I think develops nicely. How is that?
Yeah, what's the deal?
It's good.
Don't say it's good, asshole. Tell me, is it like a Labatt's? How's it different?
It's got the classic Labatt's, like the little burn after the first sip. You know what I'm talking about? When Labatt. It's just got a rounder mouthfeel. Let me describe the mouthfeel.
Rounder. Yeah. Is it lighter? Is it darker?
It's a little. It's not darker. It's golden ale, so it's just got a little bit more body to it.
So I was going to say a lot of other things about White Lotus, but I think the first season was like Labatt, and the second season is like whatever this is.
I think the metaphor works, Alex. You're right.
It's called the. Excellent. What's it called? The big deal. The next big deal.
Big deal brewing.
Big deal brewing. Okay. So let me ask you: you going to a bar in Buffalo, which beer are you ordering?
Wow, great call. I'm getting the Pils Mafia.
Oh, wow. Okay. That wasn't on the table. It was either Labatt Boo, the blue, or this one.
Labatt Boo.
Boo. I'll get one and then the other. Have an appetizer and then a...
Okay, so you're really...
We got one more question here I want to ask before we run out of time. Oh, we have a user who wants to come
run out of time.
Stage?
Is that what? Possible?
Oh, my goodness. Nat raised his hand and wants to come on stage. This is a new function we have. Should we bring Nat in?
Wait, Nat has two. Oh, what? He speaks computer. We have to be careful with him. He's too powerful.
All right. Let's see what happens. I'm going to try this out.
Now you're just inviting people onto the show willy-nilly.
He raised his hand so he could be invited on stage. It's a new function. We got to try out all new functions. Oh, he says, what? I didn't know what I was doing. Oh.
That's a forehead, all right.
Special guest, friend of the show, kicking off.
Hey,
what's up?
Hey, what's up, Nat? It's Nat's boiled mitt hour. What's going on with your boiled mitts? You got any boiled mitts there, Nat?
I love repeating the same joke as much as you do. So I've got my special line producer Pan here. I've got my Mephisto strainer. And I've got whatever the thing is that we say to get Alex mad right here. And I'm actually just dropping in to let you guys know that there's a button on Crowdcast where you can just join the stream now. I don't know if you guys know what that button
is. Seems dangerous.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that button
clear,
does.
I have to let you in. You can't just come in.
No, I like that we have a full open door policy on this show. We should give people the power to wander in.
Actually is a switch. When I was looking through it, this is way too niche, but I was looking through the revised settings for this new platform on Crowdcast, and there is a setting where it's like, anybody can come on at any time. And I was like, who, what? Why would you ever do that?
That's great.
That sounds insane.
So, folks, those listening, please join us on Crowdcast Tuesday at 7, where you can just come on and shout whatever crazy nonsense runs through your brain.
Just tell people what's in your kitchen. That's how we met Pete.
Look at that. Look at that. Huh?
Yeah. Hey, Nat, I have a question for you while you're here in your kitchen.
Yeah, audience question.
Hang out for this next question. It's appropriate. This is the last one we'll do here. This is from Mark Carrillo. What's your guy's favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Great question.
Does it have to be comic book themed?
I would dare you to find one. What's a comic book themed side dish?
Yeah, well, I really stepped in that, didn't I? Wish I hadn't said it at all. But I don't know. I feel like I put myself on the spot here.
Hulk smashed potatoes?
Ooh, that's nice. So much better than what I was going to say, which was I was going to say cranberry sauce and then hope I thought of a comic book word by the end of the sentence.
By the end of the word? You didn't leave yourself alive.
Well, that's improv, baby.
I got you cranberry Allen sauce.
Cranberry.
That's pretty good. Not comic book theme though. What's your actual favorite dish, Pete? I'll go to you. I'm sure you have some thoughts on this.
It's stuffing. I can eat stuffing more than the turkey. We put Jimmy Dean pork sausage with sage.
Yeah, bro. Sausage stuffing.
Chestnuts in there. Oh yeah, you gotta have some. And then also take the turkey drippings and spoon that onto the stuffing while it's baking, so it's like extra meaty. I could eat just a big plate of stuffing.
Really take your time.
Do you know what? Stuffing is kind of the best. I gotta say, we never, and I know this is probably a controversial one, we never had green bean casserole when I was growing up. So when I finally had it, I was like, oh, this is good. This is very good. So I don't know if it was I was just not allowed to have it, so it was built up on my mind, but I like that quite a bit.
I don't want to be a coastal elite here, Alex, but I found that a lot of people, just what they like to do is boil the green beans down into a soup and call that a casserole, and it's gross.
Two types of green bean casserole, I think. Like, there's the canned type, which is definitely the best. Like, just get a bunch of cans and throw them together. I tend to make
open the can. Ground.
Yeah, this can't serve.
Just eat a can.
Room temp cans.
I go to Goat Thanksgiving. Do you guys do that?
Yeah.
Or you just
the greatest
a bunch of
all
cats
time.
And shoes.
Oh, look at that adorable cat right there. Oh.
Yes. Oh, that's a great place to end on. Goodbye, Nat.
Goodbye.
Bye, Nat.
Good.
And that is it for your audience question.
So wait, we got stuffing. Yours is green bean casserole, Alex?
Sure.
Wow. Interesting answer. I got to go with dark turkey meat. Come on.
Is that a side?
That's not a side. That's a main dish.
Well, it's all sides. Let's be real. Thanksgiving is everything is a side. If you're eating more turkey than other stuff, you're wasting your stomach.
What? Wait. What are you talking about? Turkey's the main thing. You should be eating.
You spend more time with it?
No, because it's fucking delicious.
Man, not saying it's not delicious. I'm saying it's so delicious.
All right. Wait. First off, Alex, how do you make your turkey?
Okay, so first, you take out the turkey.
No,
we don't need a walk.
You cook it in the oven. What do you do? Because we fry our turkey.
You cook it in the oven for like 60 to 70 hours. And then take it out when it's nice and charred and throw it out.
Pete's flexing here. The turkey flex. If you fry
your turkey in the peanut oil, it seals the flavor in. Juicy and delicious.
No, I know. I actually do like turkey. I'm just poking the bear, to use the phrase we used earlier in the show. But I do agree that turkey is the least of Thanksgiving. I like turkey.
You're not doing
it. If it was just sides.
Yeah, you're not doing it right is my point. You fucking moron.
I think we can say you moron. I think we can say just like a gathering of friends and family, all the sides, including the turkey, have to come together to really make the meal. You know what I mean?
Wow. And that kicks us nicely into our next section, which is trivia. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Pete LePage.
Well, do we have a brave volunteer, or we're looking for a first stand-up person?
Yeah. Anybody who wants to raise their hand or say me in the comments somewhere, that's absolutely fine. And we'll let you in. You will win a $25 gift card to either Midtown Comics or Long John Silver's. Or if you have something equally hilarious, you know, happy to give you a gift card for whatever.
Well, JS, great place to go and spend your Thanksgiving. Let's be honest.
Yeah. You could also, oh, how about this? You could win a chance to come to one of our Thanksgivings.
That's it. And again, just like our new Crowdcast platform, you can walk, it's an open door policy. Walk in whenever you feel like it. Yeah. Find our addresses where we posted.
After your turkey ran, I don't know why anybody would want to go over to yours.
My turkey's delicious. Yeah. Dark meat, can't beat it. The problem with turkey is sometimes the skin gets too hard, Pete. You have to be really careful.
Yeah, you got to know what you're doing.
I will say for the record, never mind. I'm not going to say it. My parents don't know how to cook turkey. My father's vegetarian, and my parents' stove, which, by the way, I offered to cook Thanksgiving specifically for the reason, their stove is broken, so it's 100 degrees lower than what it says, so everything that they cook is undercooked.
100 degrees.
It's insane. And they don't believe me. They're like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I bought a oven thermometer so that I could be like, this is the temperature of your oven. Jesus Christ. Ooh, we got somebody who wants to come on.
Nice. 100 degrees off is
That's a disgusting, large
amount of temperature difference. It'd be very hard to eat the food that's coming out.
And sorry to hear it, Kevin. You can go over to Justin's house. He'd be more than happy to have you.
Uh-oh.
Hey!
Thanks for being here.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right,
lay it down.
Am I in your stream?
Yeah.
Nat?
Wait, is Nat also there?
Too? Am I also here? What's up, Brett? Hey, Nat.
Stop messing up our podcast.
It just likes me too much. It just wants me to be in the room.
Oh my god,
man. He charmed the AI.
Do I ban user or remove attendee? I guess I'll just remove attendee.
It's a getting of.
I don't know.
Nat, just sit quietly for a second.
Oh, let's wait. If I do that, then I'll unregister and remove you from this event.
Be a good audience member. Oh, it's Stray Bullets time to talk. Just let your cat.
I'll just raise my hand when I'm ready.
So this is how I do my turkey every year. This is how I used to do the turkeys. When I actually had to cook turkeys for Thanksgiving in restaurants, which is fucking a monumental pain in the ass, which I am so happy I never have to do again. You cook the breast separately from the legs. You can do anything cool you want with the legs. You like, I've come feed them.
Yeah.
I've braised them. I've boned them out and I've stuffed them with stuffing, sewed them back up, and then deep fried them. And then you brine the breasts, which you can inject brine or you can just soak them in the brine for a few days. And then you roast them separately. And it only takes like 45 minutes. And what I do every year is I stick a bunch of herbs on top of it. So like rosemary, thyme, sage, and I pack it full and stuff butter underneath all the skins and then baste it halfway through. And when I'm roasting it, all those herbs get really dark and charred and brown. And then at about 6 o'clock, we take that bird out to the street and I light it on fire.
What?
I've seen this.
Yes.
Why would you?
Because
you light the herbs on fire,
and it basically creates this herbal smoke all around it. And visually, it's awesome to just watch this thing like light on fire. And but all the ash and all the stuff creates this awesome smoky flavor that goes straight into the turkey, and it's amazing. And
I do it every neighborhood. Awesome. Get the whole neighborhood.
Well, it's tradition now. So we have open house policy for anybody that I work with or anybody that we're friends with. Come over if you don't have a place to come over. And now it's just this tradition that every year I've been doing it since 1998.
Ooh, holy good shit.
Year. Every year. So now, before it was in the restaurants, and we would line all the turkey breasts up on the ranges and just light them on fire. Now it's just I do it at my house for fun for friends, and we every year at 6 p.m. we light a turkey. My son is throwing things. We light a turkey on fire on the sidewalk.
Nice. That's awesome. Mm. I've seen a video or pictures of you doing it, and it's great.
Yeah, I usually post it. I'm probably gonna go live on Instagram and do it this year again.
Cool. So can you hurry up and win the gift certificate? The gift card?
Yeah. Brooklyn needs his Long John Silver, so why don't we do this?
Hey, I love he's got the Spidey outfit on every
yes,
time.
Yes, Spidey.
As far as the best sides go,
how do you feel about the spatchcocking your turkey?
Yeah, the
best that's still here?
Oh my God. I don't know how to get rid of him.
I was being polite.
He is being polite. It's like a live
nightmare
audience.
Scenario.
But I like to
I just want to know how Brett feels about spatchcocking the turkey.
I think it's a, I think it's cool. I mean, it's as cool as like spatchcocking a chicken.
There it is.
It's pretty cool. I mean,
can you define what that is for people that don't know that weird word?
So spatchcocking, you do only with, I mean, I guess you could do it with like larger animals, but really you only do it with birds, chickens.
Spatchcock a bear?
You could spatchcock an ostrich, maybe.
That'd be interesting to spatchcock, but it's basically you just remove the spine out of the back. Like you just pull the spine out, you cut along either side
like
of it.
Like a flawless predator style.
You just ripped it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a predator.
Yeah. Yeah. You tear it out.
Yeah, and you kind of like cook it flatter, basically. Like more even.
Absolutely. And you can flatten it that way, like he said. Like you can spatchcock a chicken, skin side down in a cast iron, and then lay another cast iron on top of it, and the skin gets like super crispy.
If I can
how do you feel about raisins and stuffing?
I hate raisins. But that's not okay.
No one like no one wants that. Yeah, what are you eating
Matt,
at a
don't
retirement
pick fights
home?
In the background.
You're a ghost. That.
Hey, I have to deal with this in my own home. Alex has to deal with his problems. My battle is raisins and the stuffing.
Yeah.
Let me just say real quick. Let me just put a flag in this moment right now. We started trivia. We've just done a segment on cooking turkey. Nat
I'm
is
not
here
interviewing Brett.
Randomly. We have not, this is the where
there's
got
to be a way to kick him out.
I can't do it without kicking him out of the show entirely.
Good. Yeah, kick him out of the show. He did
this is karmic. Pete, you caused this. You started talking about punching him, and now he's going to haunt you like a great ghost. So,
look, man,
I feel like we should just do this
would.
Every show now. Yeah, just Nat on the sidelines yelling at us every once in a while.
Nat's just sitting in front of his computer.
I will say, as far as fruit and stuffing, I actually like making, instead of doing stuffing, because the problem with stuffing is you have to stuff the turkey. If you stuff the turkey, you have to get that stuffing to like 165 degrees.
Yeah.
And by then, your turkey is fucking gross and dried. So you can do like an out stuffing and cook it on the outside, but I actually like to do like savory bread puddings, which you make a custard, do all the same thing, but like you dry out the bread and then you could put like apples and mushrooms and walnuts and all that stuff inside it and do like a custard and slow bake it like that.
Ooh, and that's what I'm doing right now. I have the bread drying upstairs, getting ready for that. So
I've actually heard it's technically dressing if it's not stuffed in the turkey. Yeah. That's why I stuff it like it's just
I love it.
I keep
like really, it. It's like we're doing 9 talk shows at once. It's amazing.
Do this please, I'm just trying to reply with a useful color commentary.
You're doing. I think it's great.
This is why you don't let vampires into your home.
I know you are because I can fucking hear it.
Is Brett doing the trivia?
Is I think Brett and trivia? Nat are doing it just by
the yeah. Do you have any suggestions on how to prepare Maguro tuna for sushi?
No.
We got to do trivia. We got to move on. Here we go. Pete, take it away.
Well, he doesn't
Brett
have
an
answer.
Nat are competing.
Am I doing trivia?
Yeah, you're both doing trivia. You're a $25 gift card to support.
We'll go with Price is Right rules.
I'm going to send you a. I still haven't sent you the charity for the last one I did. So.
Okay.
Yes, you got to do that.
Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend, Jason David Frank, R.I.P.
Just to be clear, I won't. If I win, I'm not giving it to charity.
Please listen.
So wait, just to be clear, Brett is competing for charity, and that is not
okay.
I think I think that is in contempt of court. Is there a bailiff or something we could?
Please kick Matt out.
Where's Kevin?
I don't care what the ramifications are.
He's here until the fuck next out. Week at the very least.
This is like when you're getting to the end of an improv show and you accidentally invite everybody on stage to do a scene.
They're all like, we thought you had an idea for the group scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell Pete, me to please take it away every time I start talking to 80 other people. All right.
This is your segment, Pete. It's your
please
time to
listen
shine.
To all you're three options hey, Pete, before making Pete? Yourself.
Pete, you're the star of trivia.
Swear to God, I'm a fucking leave if you don't shut the fuck up. All right. Question number one. Archie Comics will take on the slasher genre with blank the final girl. Is it A, Betty, B, Cheryl, or C, Fiona Vroom? So it's either A, Betty.
Okay.
Great.
I picked B.
Ooh. Who's wait, wait. So that's 1 point. 1 point to Brett. Just to be clear.
Nice.
Yeah. That's great. Question number two. Who is taking over for the Justice League according
James
to the
Gunn.
According to the fab-ish of Nightwing number 101? Is it A, the New Titans, B, your mom's Titans, or C, Bryan Cranston?
I'm going to say the New Titans.
You are correct,
See,
sir.
Bryan Cranston.
Ooh, two for Brett.
Three. Wow.
Really Brett feels like crushing. There's no way for Nat to win, but we'll see if he somehow squeezes
Let's
it
Let's remember the third points. Question. Third question's worth double points.
That's right.
And I've been doing a lot of unexpected things tonight, so who knows?
Question number three. Ryan Otley and Donnie Cates are leaving blank. Is it A, Elizabeth Banks, B, their Hulk run, or C, a Jumanji Christmas?
I'll say B.
You are correct, sir.
Hold on. Wow. Wait for
both Hold on. I'm going to say Elizabeth Banks. I'm going to say Agent Cody
Was that
Banks.
Correct?
D.
Was that correct? B? B? Is it Elizabeth Banks?
The Hulk run. It's Stray Bullies wins it.
Sorry about that, Matt. I guess, Brett, you have won $25. To cool. charity of your choice now $50 to the charity of your choice. So please let me know so we can donate.
I hate to see thank you for coming on. Good Long John Silver's yeah. gift card go to charity.
Yeah,
and
now I'm gonna remove
mashed potatoes.
I'm gonna remove you from the broadcast, but still can't remove that. So thanks for coming on, Brett. Always good to see you.
Bye, Nat. Forever.
See you later, Brett. I used to whip in some heavy cream. That's usually my mashed potatoes, maybe a little roast garlic, but I try to go pretty traditional.
You know what? This is just a great indicator. It's amazing how, for as much as we argue with each other, we share power very well. Because look, now Nat's here, and we're all victims. We're suckers. We're in his king. He's the king now.
We Sometimes all a common enemy is all that's needed.
As you know, my common enemy is that comics, boy, if they just
I was talking about
out,
the
including...
2017 movie Power Rangers, in case anybody cares.
That's okay. Thank you for doing that. That's very nice and respectful. It is the first time that you've done a movie that is actually appropriate for the person you're talking about. So it's nice to see as well.
That movie any good?
It took you like I don't know. I want to say conservatively 54 weeks to get around to a Robin Williams movie we'd heard of, but you know. You do you. As we all know, new comic books are coming out all the time. What are you looking forward to, Pete?
I'm looking for DC versus Vampires number 11, Doctor Strange Falls Sunrise number 1, and Hitomi, I think I pronounced it correctly, number 2.
Wow. Justin, what about you?
A couple faves out there for me. I got to shout out a new comic by Jason Aaron, Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, number 1. Very curious about that. That looks like a lot of fun. It's been a lot of like romance comics coming out lately, and this feels like it has a romantic take bouncing around it. I also want to shout out Department of Truth, number 22. Woo! This series is heating up. I can't wait to read this issue. It's really, it's one of my favorite pulls for the, every time it's in the stack.
I'll give a shout out to the Vampire Slayer number 8 from Boob Studios. I have been really enjoying this run. This is a new take on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where Buffy is kind of no longer the Vampire Slayer. Now it's Willow, but it's funny. It's fun. It perfectly channels the spirit of the show with an entirely new story and continuity. I've been having a blast reading it. And you can check out all of that stuff and much, much more in our Stack podcast that comes Wednesday, 9 a.m., both in the Comic Book Club feed and also in its own dedicated Stack feed. And folks,
and that is it for this week's show. Human Target number 9.
That's it for this week's show. A couple of people want to thank you. Thank Mike Davenport.
Telling it every month after month. The covers are beautiful. Like, I feel like we've moved on to other creators, but he's just still so solid. Can't wait to check it out tomorrow.
100%. There's a ghost in the machine.
Thank you, Mike Davenport, for coming out to talk about Marvel Universe Online. Next week, we're going to have returning guest Cecil Castellucci is going to be
here
to talk about the new iHeart radio show, Nikki Fixes Time Fix, as well as her comic book work. Also, a bunch of other things you can check out. The Doom Room, our Doom Patrol podcast, rapidly gearing up for season four coming very soon. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast. We had a new episode about Wakanda Forever and a bunch of episodes on that coming soon as well. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe and follow on Apple, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice at Comic Book Live on Twitter. Also at Comic Book Live on Hive, if you're on there. Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok, comicbookclublive.com. This podcast and many more. On behalf of
check
myself,
check out the parlor at Caveat. December 1st.
Well, that's all the time we have.
7 p.m. at Caveat in Manhattan. Shout out to Beer Cat PhD. Thanks for coming to the show last week.